Good evening, James McKenna here with my Science Hour for September 30th, 2021. And I've been talking in past weeks about electric highways to the stars and living in outer space, various related topics. But before you can go live in outer space in a closed spaceship, even though it might be big and it could handle hundreds of thousands of people, you better learn to live on this planet. And I think, let me give another segue here just to put this into perspective, this concept I want to put out there of as societies grow out of kind of nothing, like you go back to the pioneer days, the guy walked out into the woods, took his horse, his wife, and his kids with an axe and some basic equipment and started building a small cabin that they lived in maybe for the first winter, very small, just a little brick fireplace in the corner, a rock fireplace to get out of the elements, and then expanded from there and over the course of time grew, and then there were some issues, so they organized eventually, formed a state government, became a state, and so on. And so anyway, by the way, I'm sorry I'm kind of losing my voice here. I hope I get through this hour without completely losing it. But then you had states that were born. And just to give you an idea of numbers, when we think of a state today, we think of millions of people and, big budgets. When these states formed, there may have been less than 20,000 people in a state, total population. And then after the state formed, that gave people more of a reason to go to that state. But when an original state formed, or for example, some of the big battles in history, where nations won their independence, may have been a battle between less than 1,000 people total on both sides, maybe a few hundred there, a few hundred there on this side, a few hundred on that side. And some of these major revolutionary battles that, we think of today as, major victories to change the course of a country and the history and the governance of a country, only a couple hundred people involved, like the famous people like, I won't name names, the Bolivars whatever. But the point is that these people lived on, going back to the states, when the states were first settled, there was just one person family out there living by themselves, dealing with the elements, dealing with the natives that lived there prior to them arriving, getting along with them or not getting along with them, whatever the case may be. But space is very similar, in that now what we have are very few people that have access to space. But if you're going to live in outer space, which is a really strange environment, it's the first, you call it the last frontier. But if you look at the frontier the way it was back in the, say, the early 1800s or even the 1600s, when the French first came over and they started exploring and they had their trade routes up into the Northwest Territories, packing out beaver pelts and furs for making hats that were popular in England and in Europe at the time, and making a big industry out of this. But the explorers going up and discovering the riverways up through Canada, across Canadian riverways, etc. But these were just small groups of individuals, going out into the wilderness, and they had to pretty much take care of themselves. There were no McDonald's stands, there were no fast food stands, there was nothing there. They had to fish and hunt for their food on a daily basis, so that as they were moving along, they were fishing, they always had a line in the water, they were hunting, and the game was so abundant and the fish were so abundant that there was never an issue with food. It was just like, was there. They couldn't carry their food with them. But anyway, then back to the pioneers, they may have gone out there and started, they might have had a few chickens or things like that that they may have been able to carry along with them, but not much. Pretty much they depended on what was there. But the reason I'm saying this is because today, right now, the country of the United States is financially going under. I think it's just hilarious. All the people that voted for the Democrats, and now the Democrats are in power all over. It took them 10 months, less than 10 months, to destroy the country financially. Yeah. Top headline, CNN, their own news media, the CIA Candy Nugget News. CIA owned since Ted Turner sold it to him back in 1991. That's been the CIA Candy Nugget News. The top headline in CNN is that the United States is broke, out of money, kaput, and the banks are going to foreclose on them. Yeah, the whole country, your country, United States, no more money. And they've been spending money like, you know, a drunk sailor. You know, trillions and trillions on infrastructure, and this is money they don't have. You know, Congress can pass laws and appropriate spending, but see, Congress's original job was to manage the purse strings and create money, and then literally to create money. That was the entire purpose of Congress, the entire purpose, if you read their original edict. But then they turned that over to the bankers, and now the bankers are about ready to foreclose. They say the top headline, this is CNN, this is not me talking, this is your Candy Nugget News. October 18th is the day in which the United States officially will be out of money and be foreclosed upon. Like I said on John Moore's show yesterday morning, that this is going to be like a 1-2-3 punch. You know, it's going to be the economic collapse of the United States, which has already been there for decades. I mean, 100 years, you know, the United States has not had any real money. But that'll be one thing. Then there'll be you got the COVID thing going on, and I suspect they're going to come out with a third wave, and everybody's going to have, you know, more shots and super vaccines and all of this going on. But then I predict that there will be a physical event. It's going to be the physical event to end all physical events. A tsunami from the Canary Islands, a meteorite hits the Atlantic Ocean and causes a tsunami, or it might be some kind of solar flare. I've been expecting this for a long time, where they say a big solar flare, EMP, and it's going to take out the electric grid, etc. That's my vote for what they're going to pull, because then they can pull the plug on the electric for the entire country, and that'll shut everything down, along with the third wave of COVID, the Delta, might be the gamma variation, the scary gamma variation. They first had the COVID-19, then they had the Delta variation. How about the gamma variation of COVID, along with pretty scary stuff, right? But anyway, this is I'd say a 1-2-3 punch. You know, economic collapse, COVID, third wave, gamma radiation, gamma delta variation, and then some physical event like the eruption of like NASA is going to pump water down into the volcano in the Yellowstone, and that would just make it erupt and drop the water down into the magma, and where it would take out a third of the country. And then you have the tidal wave coming in from the east. There wouldn't be much left. And maybe a California earthquake that they incite with a vibration or something like that. I mean, I'm just throwing things out there. These are like top possibilities, but there are others. Okay, so what does this mean for you, and what does this mean for the theme, electric highways to the stars? Well, you better find your electric highway to someplace, and a lot of people are. I've been following trends in real estate, and rural country, open land has been selling the day it goes on the market, any place in the United States. And the reason for that is because people are just fleeing the cities. And so now the segue that I talked about at the beginning of the show here, I was going to talk about the Mayans, and this is something we know from archaeology, that the Mayan cities were abandoned. They were abandoned at some point in history. And now, I'll just give you the time frame. This is around 800 to 12 or 1300 AD. The time frame of the modern Maya, that we're not talking about the Olmecs, which were thousands of years BC. We're talking about the Maya, the modern Maya, that were still there, remnants of them when the Spanish came in the 1600s, exploring, etc., and the 1500s. But also the remnants were there when I was in say, Quintana Roo, and when I was a young guy wandering around the jungles of Mexico, or I went down to Quintana Roo, where the Mayan Riviera is right now, and met Lacandon Indians in a little town, walked inland from the tourist area now that is called Tulum. Walking inland, there was this little village there of people, and they were little. I mean, they were like 4 feet tall. And often tell the story about the Quetzal bird. I went into this woman's hut, and she had like a little counter there, and she was selling fruit and like local produce. And the only modern product she had at all was canned condensed sweetened milk. And so I bought some of that, and I drank it, and I couldn't drink it. It was just that sweet condensed milk. But basically, it was living on conch from the reef offshore and coconuts and bananas. That's what I was living on there. But anyway, met these little people who were remnants of the Maya. They were little. But anyway, back to the 800 AD to 1300 AD era, at some point, the Mayan cities simply were abandoned. The people just left, and that's what's going on today in the United States. People are simply leaving the big cities. They're flocking out of California. They're arriving in Texas. They're driving the Texas land prices through the ceiling in other places. They've already overpopulated Portland and Washington and Oregon. And the people from New York City are just leaving. They're just walking away. They're putting the money they have in the bank, putting in the gas tank in the car, packing the family, and just driving out in the property that has sat for decades and decades out in the country with nobody paying any attention to it, is being just sold the day it goes on the market all over the country. And these are, you know, 2, 5, 10, 20, 50, 80-acre plots, 120-acre plots, boom, sold the day they go on the market. And so anyway, the whole idea is that the people are just leaving the cities because it's just crazy. You know, you got the school board with full of pedophiles. You have mass shootings in the schools. You have just the liberal agenda being pushed on families that they don't want. And so the people are just, they're tired. They realize they can't fight this anymore. So they're just leaving. Bye. Pack up the family. Just go out and, you know, either it might be raw land or it might be land with a house on it or an old house. And people are buying these things like, bam, buy it up and they're moving there. So what's the end result? The end result is, and this you can just imagine back in the Mayan days, that it was getting crazy. They had human sacrifices. There's a Mel Gibson movie. I think it's Mel Gibson did a movie about this, about the Maya and the state, and they had, you know, thousands of people, and they had the warriors going out, capturing nearby tribes and bringing them in and beheading them. And like, just crazy. It just got Looney Tune, like it is today. I mean, just the leaders became insane with power, and killing people and whatever they're doing. And so the people finally just said, "Hey, enough of this!" And they just left. They just simply left and went out into the country and lived in little villages and little isolated communities, growing their own food, etc. And that is what is happening today. And this is like a precursor also. I mean, if people could go into outer space If you had a system right now where you could go into outer space and buy a space condominium in a space hotel with 10,000 other people, you would do it. There would be people doing that. It's like, this is how, you know, because they want to get as far away as possible from these bat-crazy politicians, the Looney Tunes, that would burn down their own house and call it a good deal. You remember the Russian Revolution? There's this great scene from the Dr. Zhivago movie, and he's a wealthy doctor. He's a offspring of wealthy Russian family during the Tsarist era. And he comes back home, and all these people are living in his house, and they're burning the furniture for a fire to keep warm in the wintertime. And this is the chaos that resulted from communism coming in and taking over Russia during the Russian Revolution. It takes place like 1905. Boris Pasternak, excellent author. But Dr. Zhivago takes place in like 1905 Russian Revolution. And it just shows the mass chaos going on when communism came in and took over. And that's what's going on in the United States. But the end result is that the people just left. And Dr. Zhivago ends up going out to Kuryakin, which is a small little rural community in the Urals, and sets up shop there with his wife, and they have a baby, and then the movie goes on. But anyway, that's what happens when communism comes in, because they take over and they're not going to let go of power. They're not going to, people think, oh, there's going to be another election in 2 years or the, you know, whatever. But no, once these people get in power, they don't let go until everything is destroyed. And they're just mad with power, and they are people who revel in human suffering. They have no conscience, they have no feeling for other people. In fact, they delight in the suffering and devastation of other people. They actually take delight in this. But anyway, that's what's going on in the United States. So people are just leaving the big cities, which are Democrat-controlled, have been for a long time. And this is not about Republican Democrat. This is about communism versus, any other form. Not that the previous form of government we had was anywhere close to what it should have been, but now it's just like way off in left field. And the end result is, though, whether you say, oh, I'm a, you know, McCanny's a Republican or a Trump follower, no. I'm not for anybody. I don't follow any political trends and don't care about them, because they all end up in the same place. But now, it's like I say, it took 10 months from the last election till now, till the country, literally, is completely bankrupt. Less than 10 months. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And the disasters that have occurred, you know, and I mean, yeah, the country is just going bananas. But the people are just getting up and leaving because they can't fight it anymore. They can't work within the system. They can't. The voting mechanism is totally bonkers. It doesn't work anymore, etc. And so end result is that people are just leaving en masse and going out and finding some little place and setting up a garden. And I know lots of people personally that are doing this. They're just, you know, planting a garden, storing their food, you know, getting some chickens, getting some goats, some whatever. And so the bottom line is that if you're probably one of these people, you're looking at what to do. But I would say if you're going to make a move, you better go like right now, pack up what you can get in the car, find a place. And these people are buying this land sight unseen. They're, you know, it might be a drone flyover. It might be some pictures on the internet, on a webpage. And people are buying it because if they get in the car and drive there, it's already sold. So they have to buy this sight unseen. This is what's going on in the country right now. This is the U.S. The downfall of the United States is occurring right now. I'm just going to tell you that. And the end result is that, like I say, if people could go into outer space, if you had condominiums for 10,000 people in outer space, they'd all be sold. Because people want to get as far away as possible from the insanity that's going on in the big cities, especially the big cities. The end result is that find your place. I mean, literally, and go live there, just like the pioneers. Because when you get there, there's not going to be anything. You might have a little old house. You might try and build something new. But building today, I know people that have moved, literally, like I'm saying, to a place, and they have, say, vacant land. And they go out and they look for builders, or they go out and look for building materials, and they're not available. All of the builders are booked up for months and months and maybe years in advance, because you can't get building materials. Everybody's moving to these areas, and the builders are booked up. But they have a problem too, because they turn around, they sign a contract to build a house, and they turn around, they go to buy building materials, and they can't get them. They can't build a house because they can't get building materials. You know, there might be no roofing. There might be no 2x4s. 2x4s are like $10 or $15 for a 2x4. How can you build a house when the 2x4s cost $15 a piece? Oh, my goodness. It's just insane. So the country has gone just in all directions, like in 1,000 directions, gone crazy. You look at, for example, there's ships, 20, 30 ships sitting off of the harbors right now. The Los Angeles harbor has dozens and dozens of ships sitting offshore waiting to be offloaded because the shore workers, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're not being allowed on work or they're... you know, the crazy stuff. I saw a story the other day where a nurse reported that in the hospitals, they're saying, oh, the hospitals are maxed out with COVID patients. And she said, no, what's really going on is all the beds are empty, but so many nurses have quit because of the COVID mandate, the vaccine mandate. So many nurses have quit that they're short of staff and they cannot fill a bed in a hospital by law unless they have a certain number of staff to take care of the patient in that bed. And since they don't have the staff, they take those beds offline and they say the beds aren't available. And so the few beds that are available because of the few staff members they have there, they say that they're at capacity. Well, they're not at real capacity. They're at capacity based on their personnel because everybody's quit. Because they don't want to take the COVID shot. This is a health industry. You would think they'd be the first ones standing in line to get jabbed. But no, these people know that they've seen the carnage coming in. They've seen the people who have gotten vaccinated coming into the hospital and dying from all kinds of bizarre conditions. And they're not going to be one of them. So they'd rather quit their job, lose their income, potentially lose their house, lose everything they've worked for, kids not have food on the table. They would rather go that route than to get vaccinated. This is the health industry. These are people on the front lines. And so, like everything else, it's just bat crazy, just insane, and just another symptom of a country that is on its way out. John Moore yesterday was talking about Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, who's head of 4,000 pilots. Her job is to oversee the health of 4,000 pilots. I think it's in the military. I don't know all the branches, etc. But her recommendation was that all these pilots be grounded because they've gotten the vaccine. They should not be allowed to fly, which means that the United States no longer has air capability if it comes to a conflict of any kind. So anyway, it's just, I mean, there's nobody running the ship. There ain't nobody in the pilot house, let's put it that way. There's nobody with their hand on the steering wheel of this big ship called the United States. And it's going down, and the reaction of the people, they sense it. And they're just packing, like I say, packing up the kids, packing up what they can in the car, taking some money they got in the bank and whatever they can do to buy some property and just move out in the country. And that's a better option than keeping their job in the city, etc. There's a story that I tell sometimes, and it goes like this. There's a friend of mine who had his grandpa owned a ranch down in Texas. And so this guy was an old guy now, but he was recalling when he was a youth, visiting his grandfather's ranch down in Texas. He said, "Grandpa, what was the Great Depression like? How did it affect you?" And his grandfather said, "Well, I heard there was one," meaning that the grandfather lived through the Great Depression, which, of course, devastated the vast majority of everybody in the country, the jobless rate, the long lines, the soup lines, the people losing their farms and property, etc. And this guy, you know, just was independent. He had his ranch, and everything he needed was there. All of the tools he needed, everything that he needed was there, and end of story. He did just fine. He didn't even, the Great Depression had no effect on him. You know, he had all of his food, all of his, everything he needed came from his own ranch. And maybe he traded for food from other local farmers that raised vegetables or something. You know, but it was like, it just had no effect on him. And that's what people are seeking now. They're seeking a life in which they can simply get away and, you know, just disappear out of the scene because, you know, now they want to raise taxes. The country is out of money. They just appropriated trillions of dollars for infrastructure. And, you know, and so they're going to have to raise taxes. Well, they claim they're raising it on the rich, but the rich, you know, they're going to pay whatever taxes they pay anyway. But if you taxed the real high percentage on the rich people, it would still only amount to a very small contribution. It takes the masses of people, the John Doe and the Jane Doe out there making a living, earning a small amount of money or having a small business. Those people paying taxes is what pays the majority of taxes in the United States. And so those people are going to get whacked good. They're going to be paying big time out of their pockets to cover this massive spending, and there's no movement of money. The industries are shut down because of COVID, so there's no massive movement of money. And Bill Clinton, for all of his bizarre behavior and faults and everything else that went on with him, he understood the concept of the velocity of money, that it's not the amount of money in the economy, it's the movement of money. It's the velocity of money. How many times does that dollar change hands in a day? And if that number goes up, then every time it changes hands, the government gets a little piece of that. And so that's what makes the economy work. That's what makes the whole economy work, is the movement of money. Here's the thing. If you lower the tax rate, then the movement of money, the velocity of money goes up. You know, it's like a velocity squared term. It's kind of like wind resistance. It's a very good example. Wind resistance goes as velocity squared. So if you go twice as fast, you're going to have four times as much wind resistance. So if you raise the tax rate two times, you're going to have four times the resistance to the velocity of money. And if you raise the tax rate three times, you're going to have nine times the resistance to the velocity of money. And it's a very good example. And so what happens when you raise the tax rate even a little bit, you're slowing down the velocity of money, and it's the velocity of money that makes the economy run. It makes the taxation system work, etc. Not that I believe in the taxation system, but it's just the way it is. I'm talking economic reality, economics kind of 101. This is not something you would understand or learn in a college or university level economics course, because they only teach textbook economics, which has nothing to do with anything. So, but the end result is that the economic situation in the United States now is just kiddywampus. A lot of spending, low, destroying the economy with COVID, no movement of money. I mean, it's everything's going in all the wrong directions. And of course, the United States running out of money, which is all phony money anyway. But at some point, they were bound to pull the plug and then convert the United States into this cashless society where everybody, and then, you know, you have the COVID mark of the beast. I mean, this is biblical. This is biblical. It's a biblical disaster of, and the whole world is going to come down with it. That's the thing, because the United States economy is the biggest economy in the world, but everything is going to come down with it. China, the biggest trading partner, is basically the United States, and that's going to go away also because the velocity, the whole economy is crashing. The entire federal government is crashing, and when that happens, I think it's funny because the federal government has all this money appropriated to be spent, and they have to spend it, but they don't have any money to spend. Anyway, it's just bonkers. So the end result, if you look at this, I could go on and on, but the end result is that the United States is just collapsing on all fronts. And this is what happens when you let incompetent people run your country. 10 months, it's destroyed. 10 months. 10 months, the entire U.S. economy is destroyed. Over, kaput. And so anyway, the people are just leaving, buying property. And so let me just go into that a little bit, because since that's the trend, and it's something I have a lot of experience with, is just living outside of that, the job and the 40-hour-a-week job and all of that. I mean, it's I've done that throughout my career off and on. I've worked at real jobs and things like that. But basically, what you do if you work at a real job, you spend most of your money and, of course, your time supporting that real job. You have to buy clothes. You have to buy gas. The last real job I had, which was decades ago, I spent $600 a month on gas just driving to and from work. And that's, you know, at today's gas prices, and that's not uncommon. That's half of a house payment just to, you know, just for gas. That doesn't include the clothes and all of the other things, the upkeep on the car and, you know, the house in the expensive region of the city where it was even remotely close enough so where you could commute, over $2,000 a month if you added up all the expenses of the house, you know, $2,000, $2,500 a month is not uncommon. That's cheap. If you're spending that much on your house and related things for your house, electric and taxes and insurance and et cetera, water, whatever, You're getting by cheap if it's $2,500. There's people, you know, pushing $8,000-$10,000 a month to keep that house going, just for the house. And then, you know, the car payments, everything else. I mean, if you pull the plug on that, I mean, what people can do is move out into the country and live for very little and do some kind of, say, internet work, or to do something else, maybe skills, or even work at a construction job, because now there's a lot of construction going on because people are moving out of the cities and building new structures out in the country. And so there's ways to make money and living, you know, and you need much, much less money living out in a remote area. You might be able to get by with $500 or $600 a month. Because you're raising your own food, you just need some money for essential things that you're still buying. But you go from a, you know, two-income household where the couple is earning, you know, upwards of, you know, maybe $60,000 to $100,000 a year between two people in a household, the providers, the mom and the dad, or maybe one person is working and making 60 $50,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 a year or even $40,000 a year, and you're spending all your money and going into debt and all the credit cards are in debt, and you change from that to a situation where your total monthly expenses are maybe $500-$600 a month. Wow, that's a big difference. And your work is different, but you're working, what you're working for, you keep. And so that also takes a lot of these people out of any kind of tax bracket where they would actually be contributing to the tax load of the country. And doing it legally, of course, because they're not making any money. But they weren't making any money living in the city either. They were getting behinder. It was like the old expression, the faster I walk, the behinder I get. And that's what's going on. People are just, you know, they just walk away. They just walk away. And so, but as far as, you know, living in the country, plan on the first couple of years being a little bit thin. But this also brings families together because now you're a unit. You have to sit down and say, hey, we have limited resources. Everybody's got to pick up a piece of the workload here, and even sometimes kids are going to be doing things like minding the garden or throwing food for the fish in the pond or the tending the animals, things like that, and that also learning responsibility. And, you know, so they're changing their attention from sitting there playing with a cell phone or video games to something that requires some responsibility. And that's the other thing too, is the kids have just been torched by the fact that the schools have shut down. And I think a lot of parents too, one of the big benefits of COVID, and there are big benefits, one of the biggest benefits is that the parents wake up and find out that the schools, what's going on in the schools. And you see all over the internet now women protesting at the school board meetings. And so the moms are getting involved. And this is something I said all along, is that the women have to become involved in reshaping society. And throughout history, women have had a very important role in the pioneer days. The women were tough. There was no, you know, there was no easy life there. I mean, they had a very tough role, and they came through. But I think in a lot of cases, it got too convenient for the mom just to send the kids to school. They could spend the day doing their thing, go to the gym, do shopping, and then pick up the kids. And you know, it's just too convenient. But all in all, they lost control of their kids, and their kids became the kind of like the experimental working ground for this bat crazy liberal agenda that's been pumped into the schools. And COVID made people wake up and see what was going on in the schools. And finally, they just, you know, there's no other solution than to just get your kids out of there. Now they want your kids to walk around with masks on, social distancing, don't talk. You know, all kinds of strange, bizarre discipline. No. Get your kids out of there. That's no environment for kids at all. Certainly not a learning environment, and certainly not the reason you're sending them to school. So it's another big reason to just get up and move away. And that's what happened to the Mayas. You can see it. The leadership just became insane with power, and doing all kinds of bizarre things, beheading people and human sacrifice and extended wars and empire building and all of the other things that go along with the craziness that was going on. And the people just finally left. They just en masse one day walked out of the Mayan cities and left and went out to live in the country. And that's going on in the United States right now. So here's another thing from working in industry, working in universities, working in my own private businesses, etc. Here's the deal. If you lose the chain, it's called like chain, there's another term, it's kind of like chain of custody. But if you lose the chain of of just the entire chain of progress in industry, the supply chain, the employment chain, the chain of knowledge from experienced people to new people coming in, training them how the business works, etc. Once you've lost that, there's no way to regain it. And I've made this prediction too, is that the older people, people that are 60 years old and above, who would normally be retirement age, you know, going out and golfing every day and, you know, buying a place in Arizona and living, you know, a life of retirement, those people are staying on in business now because they're the only ones that really know what's going on. Because the younger generation, they might have a book learning education, but they don't know anything. And that's always historically been true. You have people that have learned by experience, get on a job. How many times have you heard of a person who started out as a, you know, shoveling cement on the floor? You know, and that was their, but they were a creative, smart person, and they worked their way up, gained more responsibility, learned the processes, learned the business, and eventually became very high up in a company because they learned from, literally from the ground up. They became people who were, and as they learned the entire business, they learned how the business ran, and so from that perspective, and then there's people that started that kind of job and never move out of that their entire life because they're not creative people. They're just, you give them a job to do, they'll do that job. But there are people that are very inventive, very hardworking people, et cetera. And, but right now, the situation is that in industry and in business, these industries need people that are over 60 years old because they've done things in their life. They know how things work. They know how processes work. And this is one of the bizarre things going on in like Congress right now. You have these young freshman congressmen coming in wanting to make these big sweeping changes based on some Looney Tune concept that they heard maybe in freshman in college in their, you know, social studies class. And they want to make the whole country go and do these, you know, bizarre things that won't work. And that's also what happens in communism. You know, if you look at any of the communist disasters, like, say, Russia, the Russian Revolution, that's what happened there. These leaders came in and they made vast sweeping changes, took all of the people off the farms that knew how to work the farms and put their friends on the farms who didn't know how to do anything. And then the 7 million people starved to death in the next year. And they called that success. You know, the same thing is going on now. The exact same thing is going on now in the United States. You have people that don't know anything running things. And there again, the only thing you can do is there's no way to fight this. You know, everything's broken. The election system is broken. And the only thing you can do is just pack up the family and move away. But there's, like I say, there's benefits because now you've gotten your kids out of that school. That's a benefit. That's a big benefit because the teachers' unions control the school, the school boards, based on just crazy, bat crazy people, you know, running the school, a lot of them pedophiles, all kinds of bizarre stuff going on in the schools. No, you got to get your kids out of there. So, and really, it would be nice if schools could have continued on, kids playing sports, you know, improving, you know, getting an education, going on to college, but all that's gone. The colleges are all shut down. They can't stay open. They, you know, all the COVID has shut them down. So the entire society as you know it that is built up over a couple hundred years is gone. Is gone. And now, you know, the entire country is going bankrupt. The entire economic system is going to be collapsing. And so the only thing you can do is, you know, get that place out in the country and start planting, you know, planting some crops. We're heading into the winter season here for the most of the United States. And so you're not going to be able to raise crops. I was talking about this same subject last spring. I remember April saying, now is the time to make your move. You got the whole summer to plant a garden, get established, etc. And that was like even the pioneers were like that. You didn't walk out into the woods in the fall and expect to make it very well. You had to get going in the springtime, early spring. You would start walking and you would, you know, get your land and get it the little house built for the first winter and get everything in order, get your garden going, and, you know, get the game, understand the territory so you know where to hunt and fish and things like that. Yeah, so now is even, but a lot of people are moving right now. I know because I see it. I see it in the real estate trends, etc. Okay, so I'm going to jump off this topic, but I've spent the majority of this show putting into perspective where the United States is right now. And if you don't understand this, like I said, I'll reiterate that I am expecting a 1-2-3 punch here coming up very soon. And that is the number one punch is going to be the economy, where the whole country is going under. And just to give you an idea, the CNN headline in the main headline in CNN is J.P. Morgan is about to foreclose on the United States. These are the European bankers. So J.P. Morgan is just a nice U.S. name to make it sound U.S.-ish. But it's these are the European bankers in the U.S. So the entire U.S. economy is going under. They've been spending like a bunch of drunk sailors and spending money that doesn't exist. So that's the economic side. Then you've got the COVID thing. And like I say, you got all of this reaction to the so-called Delta variant, which is just a myth. And then I bet they call it the Gamma variant. That sounds pretty awesome. Like gamma rays, gamma variant. Much more powerful than the Delta, you know, and then shutting everything down again because of that, you know, hauling people out of their houses who are dissenters. And then a physical event, whether it's a fake asteroid from outer space or a solar, you know, and this is, they've been pumping the news priming the news pump on this, is for NASA to say, I've said this all along, NASA is going to say, there's this big EMP from the sun, and who's going to know that? Because NASA controls all the equipment. And so NASA says, false flag. There's this big EMP coming. We have 24 hours before all the power grids go down. Then all of the electric companies shut down the power in unison, and people think it was because of the solar flare that hit us, the Harrington event. It would be all over the news. Everybody would believe it. And then it would shut down all the electric, which would just shut down everything. So there you got it, the 1-2-3 punch. And the people who are going to fare fairly well are the people that just don't depend on those, say, the electric service. And they can do well without it. Or then there's the possibility of poisoning of water, where they put graphene oxide in the water and everybody's getting sick, or some other, who knows, some other crazy thing. Or always, you can always throw in the old, maybe it's a 1-2-3-4-5 punch with a little good old homespun terrorism thrown in for good measure, really bring things down. Then you got the National Guard coming in and et cetera. So I'm expecting that all, because they're priming the pump. And also Obama chimes in. Obama gives his dire warning to the U.S. Here's the guy that golfed most of his presidency, read from teleprompters, and he's telling us that there's dire warnings coming. So they're priming the pump. I'm just telling you, I'm just interpreting this for you, and I think you can see it also. Okay. I'm going to spend the last 8-9 minutes here talking about water filters. And right now, there's still kind of a sale on the webpage. I've changed some of the sale prices. They're not as high as they were before. But I believe in giving people a discount, give them a fair price. And then also, if you have the coupon code, JMCC is my coupon code. You may have gotten coupon codes if you listen to other radio shows. John Moore, for example, has a coupon code that goes with his radio show. My coupon code for additional 10% off is JMCC. And I encourage people to get the whole house water filter in your house. And here's the deal. Since last May, I have been swamped with orders for the MR5 whole house water filter. And right now is the first time since May that I actually have product on the shelf and have not been scrambling to catch up on shipping orders. We're actually ahead of the game. And because I've gotten more and more product, finally got ahead of the game. And now I have product on the shelf. And right now there might be, I won't say numbers, but we don't have a lot on the shelf. But if you order right now, you can get this. We ship it out the next day. You would have it in a couple days, and you could have it installed by next week. This is the only, you won't find anything like this else anywhere on the market. And then there's the additional UV, optional UV filter for bacteria and viruses. That's an add-on, that's optional, and I encourage people to get that, because if anything gets through the MR5 filter, then it gets, if it's virus or bacteria, it gets killed in this UV filter. All of that information on my webpage, jmccwaterfilters.com. And also, something that's selling quite briskly, which I'm surprised, but not surprised, I have a make-your-own water filter. So for under $100, you can get two of my new HI gravity feed water filters, elements, and a super stainless steel spigot. The stainless steel spigot is lifetime spigot, not a plastic one that's going to break in a few years, but this is stainless steel, really high quality. And you can get this for like $99.95, include shipping. And then you go out and buy your own containers. And the thing is, you can buy, some people buy smaller containers for traveling. Some people buy bigger containers. Some people, I've had people make, 20, 30-gallon water filters with this make-your-own kit. So you can buy it with either 2 or 4 or 10 water filter elements. And if it's 2 water filter elements and the stainless steel spigot, it's like $99.95. If it's with 4 filters, it's like $179. And if it's like 10 filters, it's like $359. And you get the 10 filters and the stainless steel spigot. And people have been buying these. And they go out and the instructions how to put this together, everything are on my webpage. There's a link there. You can, before you buy, you can download the instructions, and it tells you everything. How to go out and choose your water containers, food grade with a cover, and how to put the holes in, etc. And you make your own gravity water filter, because nobody has the stainless steel containers anymore. That all went away. That all went away with the COVID stuff. And so anyway, this has been a popular thing, and it's a lot of people have water filters. But they want an extra one. They want one to travel with. They want one if they're for up at the cabin. They want one for the hunting camp. They want one when they're going camping in the summertime with the kids. And this is an inexpensive way to get that extra filter without spending a lot of money. So anyway, it's the make-your-own gravity water filter system. It's on my webpage. And then also replacement filter elements for historically. One of my biggest selling items is replacement filter elements for gravity water filters. There's how many, millions of these stainless steel containers out there, and I have the best water filters on elements on the market. And so you can buy a 4-pack or a 10-pack and include shipping. The pricing includes shipping to the 50 states. So that's a good deal. Those are on sale. They're marked down. And if you have a gravity water filter and you want replacement filter elements, go to my page. and order them there. And I can even get, if you're a person that likes the old ceramics, I still can get those. I've replaced those with my new HI filter elements, but the GF filter elements, people are still ordering those. They say, I like the old gravity ceramic filters better. Or as I had a guy the other day order some Imperials. The new water filter elements that I have, the HI, have a much higher flow rate than even the Imperials. So it's something that's why people used to buy the Imperials, was because of the higher flow rate. But that's no longer the case. The new HI filters have a much faster flow rate. But there's some people that say, well, you know, I always like the ceramic ones. That's what I want. And so, okay, I can still get those. That's fine. Just let me know, and that's what we'll send you. And then this I got to make mention of. The sink filter, if you have an office, or say you have an office, even if you're in a medical office, or say you're a skin care therapist or something like that, and when people come into your office, you give them a glass of water. Well, you can have your own spigot now. These are stainless steel, super high quality. I'm just amazed at the quality of this product. I am so proud of this. I have the exclusive on this product. It's stainless steel spigot, and you have to drill a hole in your sink or in the sink counter, and it's got a swivel, 360-degree swivel stainless steel spigot on it, and the water filter element is my new HI technology, and it's ultra fiber technology. So in place of the ceramic as a filter, it's ultra fiber, which is the newer technology. They don't break. They withstand shipping, etc. So anyway, and that's at a sale price, $229. I mean, just a completely super price on this product. And easy to install in your kitchen or in your bathroom or out in a work shed or at your office. This is a really good deal. It comes with one filter element. You can buy the extra filter elements on the webpage. So once again, all of these products on my webpage, and then the, remind you, the MR5 whole house water filter filters everything before the hot water heater. So everything in your house has filtered water. Wow, do you need this? And at a sale price, and use the JMCC coupon code at checkout, you get another 10% off, free shipping to the 48 states. Wow, it's a good deal. So anyway, I'm out of time. Just go to the webpage, JMCC water filters, plural that is, water filters, jmccwaterfilters.com. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.